Yeah, and I'm transmitting here from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it's cold out tonight. There's a little bit of a wind out there. It makes it a little bit worse. I think this afternoon, Tom, if he's still listening, he might be able to correct me. I don't know if I've got the right figures on this. I think it was about -6 at one point with the wind chill. There was a little bit of wind chill there. Dropped it down to about -11, so it was a little chilly.
Yeah, you bet. Chilly where you are, for sure. Yeah. Okay, thanks for taking my check-in. Much appreciated. I guess it's just, I'm just wondering what net is this?
Well, you've tuned into the Science and Tech Net. We're here each Saturday at 9 p.m., my local time here, 0100 hours GMT. So we're here each Saturday night. And we talk about a whole host of different science topics. A few moments ago, Tom was talking about the climate worldwide and other parts of climatology and meteorology. So he's there most weeks. And then after that, it's just a various topics on science, everything from archaeology to physics to astronomy, etc.
Okay, I just woke up, so I'm a bit disoriented here. I see it's 7 p.m. and not 7 a.m. Thanks. Anyway, thanks for the chat and taking my check-in, and best of the season to everyone listening on the net. 7-3.
And 7-3. And the same to you. All the best. You and your family. All right. Science Trivia Corner. Start off with the quiz, two-parter this week. The first one, it's about Venus. And why is Venus so bright?
Because it's so reflective of all that cloud, KB3JQQ.
Because it is close.
Okay, I heard the first one, Scott. You said clouds, reflective clouds. Eugene didn't quite catch it. Did you say because it was so close?
Sure.
Okay, got it. Clouds and close. Anyone else like to try? Why is Venus so bright?
It's covered in thick clouds. They reflect the light.
As the VHVKX. So clouds reflect.
I'm going to say the reflection.
Anyone else
clouds
want to try this? Why is Venus so bright?
I'm going to say the clouds as well, reflecting by KN4EWT. Check me in, please.
And you said clouds as well. Can I get your call sign one more time?
It's Bruce, I think.
And that station there, you gave your answers. Clouds.
That call sign would be Kilo November 4, Echo Whiskey Tango.
Okay, and I'm going to apologize, I doubled with you.
No apology necessary. I'll be full duplex in a few days. It's Kilo November 4, Echo Whiskey Tango. Name is Thomas over here in Tennessee.
All right, I got you that time. Thanks for coming back. And this one here is combination of a couple of answers here, but predominantly it's the cloud. And it's actually the second brightest object in the sky, right after the moon, and it has what's referred to as a very high albedo. That's a reflection of its light back into space. So its surface scatters about 76% of its sunlight right back into space. And the reflection is due to the clouds. The clouds have suspended sulfuric acid droplets in it, which are very reflective, so that's what it is. And it's also close to Earth. So between that and being close to Earth, it's somewhere around 24 million miles from Earth, about 39 million kilometers away from us. So it makes it bright. Now, if you look at Saturn's moon and Enceladus, its albedo is about 80%. It's brighter than Venus, but because it's so far away, it appears much dimmer. But it's also brighter than Venus. So distance also matters. But in this case, no, Venus is bright because of its mainly because of its reflectivity of its clouds. And the next one here, which has the greater velocity? The Earth orbiting the Sun or the solar system traveling through the Milky Way?
Probably the solar system, KB3JQQ.
I'll think the solar system too, B5RS.
I'll bet it's the solar system, Kilo India 6, Whiskey Papa Kilo.
I'm going to say solar system, Kilo November 4, Echo Whiskey Tango.
VA3WVZ, solar system as far as I'm concerned.
And this one here, yeah, you're all correct about this. The Earth, as it's orbiting the Sun, you can just do some math on this. You will determine that it's traveling about 107,208 kilometers an hour. It's about 66,615 miles per hour. And through the solar system, it's clipping along at 828,000 kilometers an hour, 514,000 miles per hour. So there is a big difference. So going through our solar system, through the Milky Way, it's traveling much, much faster than we are, not just orbiting the Sun. That's it for the quiz. Just a couple of trivia items here I thought you might find interesting tonight. And this is about the pyramids, Pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it took 26, you look at the building, and it's hard to imagine the amount of work it took to build this. And it took 26 years, approximately 26 years to build the Pyramid of Giza. And it consists of around 2,300,000 stone blocks, and each of these are weighing in around 2.5 tons. And the total weight of it is around 6 million tons. And the next part of this trivia ties in with the pyramid. And if you were to look through any archaeological books, probably even some history books as well, you'd find that ancient pyramids are found worldwide. And there's no real agreement why that particular shape was used, you know, why it's found so much worldwide, so why it's so ubiquitous worldwide. There's no real agreement why this has been showing up in other places. One school of thought is based on the structural stability of a wide base and having it become narrow towards the top. And another hypothesis has to do with the symbolic importance of that particular shape. There are many cultures that ascribe the pyramid-shaped spiritual or celestial idea. And it could also have to do with what's referred to as independent invention. And this arises in different cultures due to similar needs and influences. So cultures could develop along the same line around the same periods of time, and this might be just something that was happening with these different cultures as they're developing. So they had similar needs and influences which resulted in the pyramid. Not too sure about that one. But there is, as of yet, there's no evidence. There's absolutely no evidence of transoceanic contact between various cultures where archaeological design could have been passed on. So as it is right now, it's kind of a flip of the coin as to why that particular shape was used for the pyramids. And this is VA3KEX. Ken here, you're listening to Science and TechNet. I'm translating for Toronto, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to join us or you have a comment, come on in. The very first topic tonight, the very first main topic tonight, is about AI. And an AI singularity is might happen. It might happen in the next 4 years. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, but there's some theory that it could happen. The singularity is in computing is where it's suggested that a computer, in this case AI intelligence, could exceed that of humans. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in, and then we'll jump into this one. An AI singularity, as I just said, it's where the algorithm exceeds human abilities. One metric, there's a few metrics they use to measure this process, is the AI's ability to translate speech at the accuracy of humans. And language is considered one of the most problematic challenges for artificial intelligence. And once this gap between humans and AI closes, AI could possibly begin to show signs of artificial general intelligence. And data collected is showing that AI is closing the gap in translational abilities. Over an eight-year period from 2014 to 22, translated AI showed a rather slow but steady improvement as it closed the gap towards human-level translation quality. For humans, it takes one translator, 1 second to edit each word of another human translator. Around 2015, professional editors, it took about 3.5 seconds to check a machine-translated suggestion. Now, that time has been reduced to around 2 seconds. But by the end of the decade, translated AI will be as good as humans produced the translation. An AI capable of translating speech as well as a human being could essentially change society. However, simply because a machine can impressively accomplish a human skill, that still doesn't make a machine intelligent. Scientists often can't agree among themselves on what intelligence actually is, or let alone how it's derived. Science, as of yet, doesn't know exactly what intelligence is, how it's formed in the mind. In fact, you don't even know what consciousness is yet, where consciousness is actually produced in the mind. Some scientific models now are showing it's maybe not produced entirely in the mind, but elsewhere in the body, and the mind is sort of a meeting place for where all these signals happen. Others have suggested it's got to do with the chaos of quantum uncertainty. Like Tom with his climate update, talking about how weather is predicted. Weather is a bunch of chaotic happenings that come into one, that congeal into one system. So you've got a whole bunch of chaotic events happening, and you get a storm produced from that. Same thing with intelligence. I think intelligence might be a whole bunch of chaotic impulses within the brain that coalesce into something that forms into consciousness. But nobody really knows. And this is the A3KX and Science TechNet. And if you have any comments you'd like to check in, come on in. And then we'll move on to the next one with the largest flying bird that ever existed. So if you'd like to check in or if you have a comment, come on in, and then I'm going to move on to the next one.
VE3.